Aloha, this is Layla.
Hi, this is Sarah, and this is the Inquisitive Psychonaut Podcast, where we discuss all things psychedelic and talk about our ideas.
And so as we step into this exploration, because there's so many out there who are curious, who have questions, who just want to know what is psychedelics, what is psychedelic therapies, and how does this change our understanding of health and well-being?
Yeah, also it's a good platform for people that are psycho-curious, that are just interested in finding more out about psychedelics and not necessarily wanting to dive completely into an alternative lifestyle where they can explore the therapeutic benefits of psychedelics while living their normal life and being a mom, being a corporate employee, being a regular blue-collar worker, doing any of those things. You don't have to necessarily be involved in some sort of psychedelic community to experience the benefits of psychedelic therapy. So with that, we'll just get right into it. I will say this is our first podcast, so bear with us. We're just ironing the wrinkles out. But I will also say that when we get into a flow, sometimes we do take off on tangents, but I think that's part of our charm. So we are friends. We are, what do you call us?
Fellow medicine sisters.
Yeah, we have different backgrounds for sure, but we do share this in common, and that has made us very close, the psychedelic journeys that we have done from a different perspective. I come from a different place than Layla, and I think psychedelics have brought us together and helped us meet and communicate and connect with each other. So with that, we'll just talk about a little bit of what Layla does and what I do and what the purpose of this whole thing is. So
okay, so folks, my name is Layla Dim. I'm a licensed counselor, and as I say, a therapist by trade. And so that's my segue into sharing the idea that what I do is so much more at this point. And I have a lot I'm going to want to talk about in regard to the world of mental health and psychedelic work and the actual work I've been doing at ground level for quite a few years now. So I brand myself as a psychedelic therapist at this point. And that's the idea that all the work I do is psychedelic in nature. When we look at the word psychedelics, psyche being soul, delic meaning make your soul manifest, that the idea that there's many ways we can understand working in non-ordinary reality. So not to get overly complicated, too far ahead of us and drop some heavy, heavy ideas, it's just that many people out there, based on my work, are getting more and more curious about how psychedelics can help them heal, how they can understand which ones might be more applicable for what they're needing, what these things actually do. And like Sarah said, that maybe deconstructing some ideas that are entrenched about what psychedelic communities are. So my background, in essence, comes from many years of being a clinician and doing non-ordinary dates work in clinical hypnosis and a lot of other exploration that I brought into my work, and psychedelic medicines are just a natural segue. So I am stepping up here with my friend Sarah because we've had so many dialogues about this, and I think it's a natural segue because I think a lot of what we talk about, I'm understanding a lot of people out in the world are curious about. So Miss Sarah, what might you add to who you are and what we're doing?
Probably not a lot. I think mostly I'm going to be a comedy on this podcast, but background's totally different. I do not have any sort of training in clinical practices. I could probably benefit from the use of them. However, I will say that I've had many, many years of psychedelic journeying from my early teens until present, beginning, you know, in my early days with just, you know, for recreation. And, you know, ultimately I've changed that to a more therapeutic use for my journeys. I have a corporate job. I have 150 employees. I am in a life that would not necessarily indicate that this is something that I do. So I do know that in speaking with people that I work with, there is interest, right? And you don't have to be this crazy wild child to have the benefit. But yeah, my background is, just experimenting with this myself and finding myself in conversations with Layla about it, about psychedelics and how they can benefit you. And they have benefited me greatly in my healing journey for a lot of reasons. I currently have stage 4 breast cancer and I've used psychedelics to come to terms with the possibility of death, with the possibility that I might not be here, and also being okay with that. Not that that's my plan, but it's helped me get to a place where I can talk about it and not necessarily be happy about it, but have an excitement about the potential that there's something else after this, because I've seen it. I'm just a normal person that is wanting other people to experience the benefits of psychedelics like I have, including people with PTSD. There are a multitude of benefits for this. Now, that being said, I do not think it's for everyone. I do think there are some people that might not be ready.
Absolutely, Sarah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's part of opening up this dialogue as well, because of the questions I get at ground level. So I'll give an example. So when I have somebody reach out to me who says that they went and had an iboga experience.
Oh, hold on 1 second. What's iboga?
Iboga is an African plant medicine, an entheogen. Excuse me. And thank you for that, Sarah. I don't want to get too caught up in what each of the medicines are yet. Okay, down the road, I suspect we will cover that, right? Yeah. But as a working example, this gentleman who reaches out for some integration support, possibly post-medicine experience. And when I say medicine experience, I mean psychedelic experience with plant medicines. Plant medicines being psilocybin, being ayahuasca, San Pedro, iboga, and possibly the 5-MeO in certain forms. Getting back to the story, so a gentleman who has a lifetime relationship with experiencing anxiety, hasn't done any prior therapeutic work or been on any psychiatric medicines, and decides to step into an experience of a very, very, what I consider big and heavy psychedelic, and comes out on the other side very dysregulated and even more anxious. So that being the example, what I'm speaking to is talking about these things, about harm reduction and safety, but also keeping it light and bright, because it's not just about using these psychedelic medicinas just to clear, to help us with trauma, and I shouldn't say just helping with trauma, but it's because it's a huge tool. But there's also the idea of exploring our consciousness and this exploration of possibly creating a unique way of being in our world. So we'll leave that over there. So all of that being said, yes, there's a lot of folks who have a lot of questions, and I love that Sarah and I could come together and perhaps just start opening up this dialogue.
So tell me more about this gentleman that reached out to you. He just wanted you to help him with a post experience.
Right. So the post-integration work so when I talk about working in psychedelics, and I would say the last 5-ish years, it's been a lot of preparation work. Integration is the post-psychedelic personal process work that people will do in order to ground in the experiences, in order to maximize, as I say, the potential for healing. And I do very much foundationally believe that psychedelics can possibly be a tremendous tool for healing. And that's why even talking about different ways of understanding that's important. So back to your question. With this gentleman, he was having trouble going back to work. He was having trouble sleeping. He's having what, in my opinion, look like symptoms of what's called, HPPD. So basically the post-medicine psychedelic experience having some psychotic symptoms. So he was having trouble grounding after he went and did this very intensive psychedelic work. And so he was reaching out to me to help him with that. which at that point, really, it was not, there was not much that I could do. And we decided that he needed more mainstream psychiatric support at that point, which is actually an example of the not so great fallout. You know, a lack of education, awareness, knowledge of what somebody's stepping into, no preparation work, let alone any history in trying to manage what is, you know, a mood disorder that somebody has a lifetime relationship with. So those are the things that concern me.
I absolutely agree with that, because for me personally, and for other people that I've had experiences with psychedelic use, the work comes after. The work is after. So you have your experience, and you know, a lot of these places that you can go down to South America for, which are great if you're a little mm-hmm. more experienced, but you get people that are interested that jump into these experiences. They go down to South America, have the shaman, have everything, which is great. But the problem for me is that you have the experience, and it takes a long time to process it. Once you start processing it, you're no longer there with that support. You come back to normal society, normal life, and you don't have anybody to support you in getting through that. It often causes life-changing issues in people that aren't prepared for that. So they'll have the experience, everything's great, and then they come back and have this, I don't want to say an understanding, but a sense that things aren't quite what they seem anymore. Things aren't what they thought they were. And how do you deal with that if you are not somebody familiar with that feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And you're coming back into your normal life, that can have catastrophic effects on somebody's life. And I feel like that's a valuable service that you provide, right? To be that blanket and that cushion mm-hmm. for somebody that has questions and needs to integrate back into normal life, because it's real. You know, I have experiences from ayahuasca years after the initial experience, and it's more of an understanding of what something meant at that time, and it hits me and I'm like, oh, that's what it meant. And I think that it's really important that people give themselves space and time to process the experience and get the benefit from it, because if you just keep doing it over and over again without evaluating, just like anything else, you need to really dig deep. It's not fun. It is work. And there's a reason it's work, and part of that work is the integration mm-hmm. that you provide. So I do have a question for you about that. Mm-hmm. In your practice, you know, what are your plans, and what do you do to provide that integration service for people?
That's a good question, and it's actually gotten to be kind of a bigger question. And what I mean by that is I've come to understand, so first of all, I want to say that all of this is just my opinion based on my actual direct work. And I kind of chuckle about that, because to me, it's very important to have what I may refer to as rightful credibility. So by virtue of the trainings that I've done, and I continue to do my direct work with people now for years in preparation and integration and doing guided facilitation as well, it's offered me a really vast experiential learning and connection with so many people. So what I've come to understand, though, is the texture of each medicine, and I refer to psychedelics as medicine, and I refer to psychotropics as drugs, just to clear that up now, so that the different medicines and why people step into the experiences can be very different and unique, so integration is also unique to them versus the one-stop shop. So one person may come out of that, and I usually will coach people in the understanding that some of our greatest downloads come way afterwards. Folks, when we're talking about downloads, to me, we're working in the mythical realm at this point. We're talking about being able to glean understanding from a lot of symbolic meaning, which is just beautiful, actually. That's also why it can be so confusing. So at this point, which is different than 5 years ago for me, when I hear integration, I see integration in every part of the work I do, and in psychedelics, it just takes more form. So that could possibly be one person who needs more grounding. So I might suggest certain activities or things to do in nature, as well as possibly some neurofeedback work, because I have a background in biotechnology and neurofeedback in the brain, and we're going to talk about that too. Because after each one of these medicinas, there can be windows of neuroplasticity, and so not to get overly complicated. So the integration piece of it just requires understanding where somebody's at post-ceremony, what kind of preparation work they did before, really allowing them to have the space to share their experience with somebody. Sometimes this is very much the ineffable, meaning it's hard to put it into words. And I find that in a lot of medicine circles, and I'm talking ayahuasca and maybe some more other cultures, that we don't have as much of an opportunity sometimes to process that. So integration is many things. It's helping somebody ground. It's helping somebody understand their experience better. It's suggesting ways for them to maximize the window of neuroplasticity and generative happenings in the brain. And also how to bring this into a personal therapeutic framework where we can start creating some small sustainable shifts that I call change.
That's incredible. And I think it's extremely important because I believe that psychedelics thin the veil, right? There's something behind, in my opinion, like Layla said, this is all my opinion coming from somebody that has experienced this personally. There is a veil that is up, and everybody has it. The more you do psychedelics and journey in that realm, the veil becomes thin. So the lines between what you thought you knew and what is actually possible becomes real. And for some people that have lived their entire lives not even thinking about the other side of the veil, that can be very challenging and fearful. And I think that Layla provides an excellent service in helping these people navigate through that, because it can be scary. It can be very uncomfortable to face things about yourself that you are not prepared to deal with. I feel like some people jump into this experience not knowing that that's a possibility. And then when they're presented with it, man, it's hard. Not only is the veil thin, but you are slammed in the face with who you might really be and things about yourself that you didn't know, which is extreme. You need to know that to heal. You need to know who you are and the motivations for what you do. So that being said, you know, I think you providing this service is huge. And at the end of this, we'll give you information on how you can reach out to Layla for that. I think another thing that I want to talk about is the importance of selecting the right experience for yourself, right? There are a lot of people that administer psychedelics without the proper intent. And I feel like it's very important that the person that you go to or the experience that you have is a safe one, because safety needs to be first. And the person that is guiding you through that experience needs to be somebody that understands, number one, the medicine, and number two, the potential for disaster for you mentally, right? Not that that can happen, but or will happen, but it can. And if you have the right person guiding you through that experience, which is something that Layla also does, right? She not only works with integration, but she can help guide you through the actual experiences safely, right? I think that's hugely important. I think one of the problems in the modern age of psychedelic journeying is people going to the wrong practitioner, having an unsafe experience. And I've had similar experiences myself. So I think Layla can also be a guide in that avenue as well, to make sure that you choose the experience and the medicine that is right for you and for what you're going through. She has vast experience in many medicines, and she can help with that. So I think it's really an exciting time where this is able to be spoken about freely and without stigma. There shouldn't be stigma attached to this. There shouldn't be the expectation that to take a psychedelic, you need to be, you know, at a Coachella festival. Not that there's anything wrong with that, right? Like, dude, if I could be there, I would. But we all have to live our lives, and we can't run away and live in the forest and, you know, grow mushrooms and just run around barefoot all day, which is, trust me, I would love to be able to do that, but reality doesn't dictate that I can. And I think that's the case for most people. So I think Layla provides a bridge to those people that have to live their normal lives, can't dive completely in, and turn into the star child, right? The opportunity and the potential to get the help that they need through psychedelic therapies.
Right. And really grounding this in, because the other beautiful part of my journey in recent years is all the providers that I've connected with out there. So it may not just be myself, but part of what I've been doing at ground level, and I laugh because it's so me, because I need to, test something first before I bring it into my work. And so the network that's been grown.
Guinea pig over here.
Always the guinea pig. But this is why I walk the walk. And this is why when I'm talking the talk, it comes from a place of grounded personal and experiential knowledge and whatever else, what other knowledge I've decided to glean and pursue, which I believe that one can always be in a state of learning and open. It's a construct of maybe even intelligence to myself, right? So even an intention.
Whatever.
Yeah, I know. An intention for a medicine journey, the simplest intention is show me what else I can learn about myself, right? So back to the network piece. So what I also love is that there's this growing vibrational network out there of providers, whether it's clinically based. I had, having gone through that first consortium with the Naropa Psychedelic Assisted Therapies Program, which was a great experience, and it helped me understand how vast this is becoming, and that there's many of us at ground level who are growing these really beautiful, a beautiful synthesis of our own modalities, since we can... So many of us were open to practice, bring all of our practices. And what I mean by that is, for myself, the 30 plus years of being an astrology student and loving the oracles and my personal shamanic learnings and teachings and exploration and you know, Reiki and all sorts of practices and spiritual journeys and being able to bring all of that into my work with the clinical and with this growing synthesis with the psychedelic world. And so, yes, so we have a lot of curious folks out there, and we also have a lot of wonderful, beautiful psychedelic providers. And that's part of what I feel like I have been doing at ground level, is discerning and getting an idea. And there's nothing like direct experience to teach certain variables that I'm not sure you would be able to understand unless you're there, about what can happen in an ayahuasca ceremony when things don't go well, and seeing how providers handle things at ground level. And so, yes, there's a beautiful network growing out there that I really want to give a lot of credit to as well. And I'm hoping over time that'll be something I'll provide as well, is a list of resources, as well as all these beautiful psychonauts out there who are getting curious. And you know, it's actually kind of simple. We can make this really complicated, guys. And the complicated is what can happen. And once again, just my opinion and what I'm about to say, but we can see this a lot in the clinical world. We can over-therapize and make it a cognitive experience for something that's supposed to be an experiential felt experience, right? So the best model is a unique bridge between both, right? Because at this time, it is so beautiful that so many people are really entertaining some very big ideas and getting curious, and we have people who are really pulling their body of expertise together and stepping out and providing these services and these circles. But we also need to keep in mind that there are a lot of growing voices in this very saturated world of psychedelics. All we have to do is jump on IG and I'm sure TikTok and whatever else, that there can be a lot of misinformation. There is a lot of unsafe medicine circles that are growing. I have a lot more people reaching out to me who are stepping into serving medicines and holding space, who are asking some really interesting questions.
And I'm going to interject there. Probably some of them aren't qualified to do so, in my opinion. And I don't know the people reaching out to you, but I've experienced a lot of people administering psychedelics that absolutely should not be there. And I don't trust them to navigate my psyche through an experience when they don't even have a grasp on what theirs is.
Right. So that introduces the simple idea of one who, you know, when we do this work, doing our own personal work, doing our shadow work is really important. And the bottom line, though, Sarah, is I hate to break it to you, but a lot of times there's no way to tell unless you're asking the right questions before you step into that space with somebody.
Right. And I think that's where you come in.
Yes.
You know, I think that's a huge yes. benefit of working with somebody like you. You know the questions to ask, and you actually have a trusted network of people already that you've developed. So I think that's great. I do want to talk about the importance of having, on that vein, having the correct trainings, having the correct teachings that you have learned, mm-hmm. right? You can, anybody, that's the problem. There's no regulation at this point on who can be administering medicines, who can do therapeutic psychedelics, right? There really correct. Isn't a body, a governing body on that. But fortunately, Layla has taken the initiative and the time and for her own growth and to be a more legitimate practitioner, she has gone through several trainings to be a better practitioner of this. And I think that a lot of people haven't done that because they aren't required to.
Mm-hmm.
I want to mention that, you know, I know you're not going to talk yourself up, but she has been through some training. This bitch right here has done her work. And
yes, but let me tell you something, honestly. One can go to years of school, you can go to so many classes, you can do all that stuff, but actually bringing it into practice is actually, the actual application is in certain ways at a certain point becomes more important. Because knowledge is just knowledge until we put it to use, right? So that's why, Sarah, though I appreciate you blowing me up. And seeing my hard work, it's nice to be seen for my hard work. That actually allows me to lay this idea that just because one has a background in mental health and is a clinician and goes to some program doesn't mean that that guarantees a safe space as well. So because I know some very, very incredible medicine men and women who might have a more indigenous background, and they actually live their respective medicines, and I would trust them more sometimes, depending on the medicine circle. So I think we also need to be careful, and that's part of the bridge for me too, because in everything I do, it's bridging the clinical and the metaphysical, and those are just words, right? So yes, actually, we're looking at what is somebody's experience, perhaps even asking somebody serving medicines, why do they do it? Why it's important to them, what they believe is supposed to happen in that space, right? What they see their role as being, right? So interviewing them instead of feeling like you won some lottery to go down to the Amazon for an ayahuasca experience.
Exactly, which I feel like is,
you got
is
it.
What's happening right now.
Very much so, because it takes years.
The popularity of psychedelic tourism is out of control right now, and there's not a lot of screening on the participants. You know, set and setting is huge. And if you're with a group of people and some of them are unsafe, that's going to negatively affect your experience as well.
No.
Is that good?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like I need to be right on the mic.
I don't know. You sound better when you are.
Okay.
See, I'll we're do figuring it. This stuff out.
Yeah, for some reason, Layla's mic sounds better than mine. Let me.
I think yours sounds good when you sit like that.
I feel very intimate with this microphone right now. This is
okay.
Nice.
Back on track. So basically, you know, right when you said that, Sarah, about screenings and people going, you know, at a certain point, that's kind of on us, isn't it? Those of us who skyrocket into throwing ourselves in these situations, not asking the right question, thinking it's going to heal a lifetime of a mood disorder, and all you can do because it's, here you go. So I often say, like, we can't really Google a thing unless we know the questions that we're going to ask.
Facts.
Right?
Yep.
And so what can sound like a great idea, often that's part of the calling to work in medicine, which is so interesting to me, how people, quote, get called to, you know, or have this idea, maybe I'll go do this thing. But in all fairness, a lot of folks, and I think that's why it's important doing this type of opening up these types of dialogues, right? And talking about these different topics is to get people curious. Maybe it's the one thing that stops somebody long enough to, you know, to question, why am I going there? What am I doing? What am I hoping is going to happen?
Yeah, I think it'll help keep people safe as well.
That's one of the main goals. Right. Absolutely, because these can be powerful, transformative medicines for people. And I also don't want to blow that up either. It is not a one and done.
No.
And so going back to our original point, which is the foundation of this, is what you put into it is what you get out of it.
Yeah.
The integration work, the preparation work, you know, but not everybody, once again, is interested in all that. And so this isn't for them.
and I want to talk about that for a second. And this is from my seat. Mm-hmm. I am not a clinician of any sort. But I feel like a lot of people just go to therapy and try to get help, but they're not really. They just want to go over and over again and have the same conversations, right? If you want real healing, if you want to get down to the brass roots and brass roots, what the hell are brass roots? Jesus Christ. Anyway, words, you know, words are a thing for me sometimes, but if you want to get down to the grassroots of what the problems are in the brass tacks.
There you go.
Yeah. Or the grass tacks, if you will.
Yes.
I think psychedelic therapy is the way to do it, right? If you just want to go and sit on somebody's couch once a week and complain about your problems and not make any changes in your life, that's great. There's plenty of people that will provide that service for you. Layla is not one of them. Much like plant medicines, she will not hold back. She will tell you what you need to hear, whether it's painful or not. Painful truths are important. Painful truths bring real healing and growth. Mm-hmm. And that's something that psychedelics provide. And I think that's why it's not for everyone. Like Layla was saying, if you're not wanting that, it's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to be confronted with some things that you might not have been ready to face. So for me, I love that. Bring it on.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because in that model, Sarah, I think it's we're talking about having a direct experience of whatever our quote stuff is. Right. So, for instance, in one of my first ayahuasca sits, boy, did I come front and center with that mind chatter of mine. So it gave me a really interesting symbolic way to kind of work with that. And so that to me would be an example of some of our, quote, stuff that can come up in those circles. But Sarah, you bring up a really good point about the therapy world. And I always find this part of me wants to be a little bit careful and slow it down because I have an interesting relationship to the clinical world. I was born into it. I came into this field reluctantly. Glad I did because I've done it my way now. But it was about 10 years ago when I started having crisis of faith about the idea of sitting in that office hour after hour and talk therapy and then really looking at, well, do people ever get better? And how do you know? And that's why I've always been so blessed that I followed the signals to bring in the neurofeedback and the brain learning that I've had over the last, you know, decade plus has been instrumental also in understanding, you know, what happens to us in the psychedelic space. So the therapy world, it's like you said, Sarah, right, there are those who it's a relationship and it's a, and they get a lot from going week after week. And that's why I want to respect and honor them because there's plenty of clinicians who that is more of their modality, a more psychodynamic modality. Whereas a lot of people in this day and age, unlike 20 years ago-ish that I came into this field intentionally, what we were working with and dealing with 20-ish years ago is very different than the florid anxiety, autism, and mood disorders that we have such a prevalence of now, right? So anyways, not to digress too far, so my own growing awareness about the limitations, perhaps, in talk therapy, because I believe that as part of preparation for those stepping into the space to have a therapeutic experience, and what I mean by that is it may be the person who has a history of being on antidepressants, has different relationships with the field of mental health throughout their lifetime, right? That work is going to be very different in certain capacities because the preparation work we do is part and parcel about what I call mining it for therapeutic content because I hold the idea that when we step into a medicine space, a psychedelic experience, that the less that the medicine has to work through the intra-psychic sludge, the more we can maximize the potential of healing from that psychedelic experience.
Preach.
Exactly. Because, and so that's why to me, there's a productive and constructive way to talk about whatever our content is. But the idea of sitting in therapy for 20 years, week after week, is becoming increasingly antiquated for many people.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like the people that, the patients that do that, the people that seek that sort of therapy aren't looking for healing. I don't have to be honorable and respectful of those people because I am not a clinician, so I can be, you know, I can say what I really feel about that.
Yes.
I feel like they are looking for validation. They are looking, see, something's wrong with me. And I'm going to keep coming back here every week. And I don't think they're necessarily looking for change. Now, I'm not speaking about everyone. There are people that are not like that. But there are some people that part of their pattern is to go to therapy without looking for healing. And that's what I appreciate about you and what you're doing. I feel like your particular specialty is just getting down to it, targeting the healing.
Let's stop playing games.
What's going on? What do you want? Here's how I think we can get there. Talking about it gently for, you know, years at a time. Great. I might not be the person for you. And I think increasingly people want that. People want real, right? They don't want to be insulated and coddled. You're not going to grow. Nobody's going to grow in that environment. Yeah. So.
And once again, it's interesting. I love hearing you say that. And that part of my brain that says, you know, not everybody is in it for growth. And I think we have to, you know, some of the biggest mistakes we can make is assuming that others hold the same values as ourselves. Right. And to assume that everybody wants to grow because they step into therapy or even psychedelic space. That's actually why I increasingly want to open up this dialogue, because there are so many things that are not what they seem. We have all these ideas, right? So even the idea that surely if you go to therapy, you want to grow. Well, actually, for some who their growth potential is that warm, fuzzy relationship that they're not pushed and challenged.
Yeah.
And that's good for them. I know that's not you. It's not me. In fact, in the first session, especially in couples work, you're going to hear me say, well, we're going to hit the pavement running. I'm not the expert on you. And this is all just my opinion, guys.
Well, I value your opinion.
Well, I appreciate that, because really what I'm doing, no matter whether it's with psychedelics or productive and constructive talk therapy, therapeutic coaching is what I call more of it, is introducing enough ideas to get my client, because nobody is ever my patient, to get them to think deeper and get curious about themselves. Wonderment is an incredible quality to be able to maximize, right? And all this anxiety everybody talks about, well, that's some stuck programming and thinking and brain circuitry as well. So anyways, you know, what I understand increasingly is this is not for everybody. And those are not the folks who will be even remotely interested in what we have to say.
Yeah, they won't be listening to this.
No. Which is A-okay, you know? I mean, seriously. I'm more interested in talking to the people who are waking up and actually want to stay awake.
Yeah. I think another thing that happens with psychedelic medicines is that sometimes you walk into a situation thinking one thing, obviously you start thinking another, which can seem like a step backwards in your healing, a step backwards in where you were trying to be. But sometimes you need to take that step backwards to reevaluate, because what you thought isn't accurate in all cases. So you have to be prepared for all of these things. And I think that you are an excellent person to guide people through that and just preparing them for that eventuality. Like, maybe this is going to happen for you. Maybe nothing will happen. You know, there are a lot of times when people don't experience anything. It's just the nature of it all. So anyway, I think that this is just a little introduction to what we're about. We plan to discuss the different types of medicines that we have done and that are available, and that I know I haven't tried yet, that I'm gonna try.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about those experiences, which should be interesting. And we're just open to questions, right? If you have anything you want us to talk about, please reach out. Layla will give you her information at the end of this, where you can contact her. We do have an Instagram site. the Inquisitive Psychonaut Podcast. This is our Instagram name. So Inquisitive _Psychonaut_podcast at Instagram. So if you want to check us out there, great. Follow us there. We'd appreciate it greatly. We, like I said, we're just talking about this because it needs to be out there. We don't have any mission. We're just having fun, and we want people to be able to ask the questions that they have.
Absolutely, Sarah. And I so, what I want to say and kind of bringing this to a close is I so appreciate your invitation to me to come into the space with you and start the big dialogue about a lot of different things and try to keep it light. And that's kind of your job because, you know, like things get a little heavy.
Because I'm an idiot.
No. All we're doing actually is taking our flow at ground level and just bringing it into the space is all we're doing. Right, because we actually have fun kind of bouncing these ideas and talking about different experiences, and we figured, yeah, maybe other people might be interested as well, right?
Yeah, it shouldn't be too serious.
No. But we'll weave in, right? And that's kind of all of my work is intersection. You know, for years in my ground level business, in the waiting room, people hear a lot of laughter coming out of that office, which I think is beautiful because it really encourages the idea that even in doing our own work, we can have a certain lightness. It doesn't have to be heavy. It is heavy sometimes, and then it moves over into the light. But at the end of the day, that this is just about just opening up the big dialogue.
Yep. And I think, you know, either way, if no one listens, we're okay with that.
Because this is fun.
Yeah, this is fun. And we have all this cool equipment.
Yes.
Apparently, I need to learn to operate a little bit better.
Well, I guess we're going to find out, aren't we?
Yeah.
So, this was great, Sarah. And I just want to mention that everything we're also talking about, I'm bringing into this psychedelic deep dive coaching program that I'll be launching here in the near future. And after being behind, quote, the veil for so long, I understand that the veil is officially lifted. So this is just part of me showing up in many different capacities, finally.
Yeah, I believe that, too. The veil's lifted not just for people that have experienced psychedelics, but for everyone.
You got it. That's part of the awakening, my dear.
Yep. How can people find out about what you're doing? What's your website?
So my website is www.leyla.love, and Leyla is L-E-Y-L-A. You can also find me on Instagram, and my handle name on Instagram is at Leyla Lokahi. And I think that kind of covers it for right now.
Okay, perfect. Well, until next time. It was awesome talking with you, Leyla. Mm. And you guys have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Aloha. Enjoy the day.